Gertrude Meany, Reel 3.
Then my name was Carpillis.
That's right. Yes, you know, that was your first husband.
Marriage.
Yes. So if I could just clarify, when your mother died, was this when the Germans came with the secretary?
It was, how should I say, on the day when Hitler was marching in. Then the secretary had already the power, because she was already, she could already show that she was SS, Germany SS, that she was working many years underground against my father, you know. And my mom, she was a child, she had everyday lunch with us. As I told you, well, we wanted to go to Switzerland and to America, and we went back to my father, because my father said it will never happen in Czechoslovakia, and I must come. He is not wanting to, that his child goes to America. So we came to my father. There, the first day when we arrived, then my husband was Austrian, so as I was married to him, we were both on Austrian passports, you know. So it was not yet quite Hitler, but Austrian we were. And he straight away, when we arrived, we went to prison. Just normally to prison, in my hometown to prison, not concentration camp, in prison. And she only took, the number of our accounts in the bank and so on, and that she took all, but that didn't interest us at this time, because we even didn't know anything about it. Then my father came back. No, yes, my father, she ordered straight away to put my father in prison. Then when he came back, he was living a little bit still at home. She was gone, and the factory was closed, and everything was... And she had only one wish, that I come, and with Lillian and me and the family, that we are going out of the country. But she said, that wasn't it today, you know. He couldn't see it. So, and as I say, Benesch doesn't go, the president. He stays and I stay with him. So that was that. And then we were there as Austrians straight away. And my father said, you go to Prague and not to home, it's home time, to Prague. And there I booked already in the best hotel an apartment for both of you, and you stay there, and when everything is all right, you come back again, and so on. He saw it all, and when he heard, we were the first one as Austrian, that we went to Theresienstadt.
But first of all, did you go to Prague?
Sorry?
Did you go to Prague?
Yes.
Could you tell me about that, you know, going to Prague?
Going to Prague, it makes me... There, a few days, it was a wonderful life. There we could be still with strange, with a Austrian passport in the hotel. That's why my father arranged it in the hotel. Well, but then one day in the hotel, they came, and we had to go to Theresienstadt. We were just taken by a big bus with other people, and nobody knew where we go.
What did you take with you?
A handbag with the things which I had in the hotel, you know, just, but nothing else. And some money. And I remember very well, when we are at home, I don't know how it came to my father, but before we went to Prague, so my father said, look, sit here down and show me your coat. something like that. He said, open the shoulders, the sleeves, take the sleeve out here, both, partly. And here you are, I give you in each 5,000 crowns. So when you come once to France or to America or wherever you come, you know you have got money. You know, this sort of it for my father. Not to let us down, even in this way. Wherever you go, you know you have got the money in your shoulder pads. And that's what I did. And what was happening in the hotel, the coat with the shoulder pads, it took away.
You didn't take that with you?
Sorry?
Did you take that to Theresienstadt?
No, I couldn't anymore. Before I went to Theresienstadt in the hotel, they came already to take everything away. And to be without nothing. But it never worried me, you know. I don't know why. Today it would worry me to go somewhere without money. But this time it didn't worry me. I thought, oh, father is at home and Erwin is there. He will know in Switzerland what to do. Because somehow he had his father was a owner on a private bank in Switzerland. But that was already all sold, the father gone and everything. But he had still the connection. And had always, as I said already, some money in this bank. So it was never a worry. We could have, I thought, well, we have got money. I didn't think even of anything. I just had no worry.
How were you treated?
In love with my first husband. That was my life, my love to him. He was my first love and my second love.
How were you treated at this time when, for instance, you were arrested at the hotel in Prague?
Yeah.
How did they treat you?
Well, not to take us here, but this and whatever we ask, where are we going? He said, don't ask, don't ask. So we couldn't ask anymore. And the luggage they took, and we thought they took it into the back of the bus, so we didn't have an idea. Not an idea.
So could you tell me, when you arrived at Theresienstadt, could you describe that place, what it was like?
The Theresienstadt, we were told already by the SS people, you are, now when we arrived, he said, now you are in a ghetto. You are only with Jews. And you are in the ghetto, and there you get everything. So, and we believed them. We thought it Jews during the war, yes. During the war, they, of course, said, and it is a war coming, and that is also against the Jews, so you must be in a ghetto, locked up. And so we were, until then in Theresienstadt, where my best friends, where people, where he, more or less was in the first transport which came from Prague, because he came from there, was the president of the Theresienstadt, because the Germans had got only commands for him, and he had to do it everything. The Germans did not do anything in Theresienstadt.
So first of all, could you tell me, Trudy, about the ghetto, you know, what it was like when you first went into the ghetto? Where did you live and how did you live?
Well, we were put always 3, 4, 5 girls in a room. In the private, the military, that was a military center, Theresienstadt. there were only military houses, no, how do you call it, casernen.
Barracks, sort of barracks.
Yes, yes. That was all only military. And so there were three beds on top of each other for the soldiers, and for the officers there were big rooms, only with one bed, two rooms in a room or one room. And I, of course, was lucky because to my best, our best friends belonged then the president who went in the first transport, and he got the president of Theresienstadt, of the Jews. He only got the orders from the German and he had to do everything. But he was also my best friend because his parents were my parents' friends and so on. That was an old friendship, you know.
What was his name?
Meissner.
M?
M-E-I. S. I think double S. N-E-R, Meissner. His name was, there were two brothers. The one name was Julius, and the president was, now I can't remember it, but it will come back. Yeah, a moment. So, I tell you something. The matter was that they came drunk, where everybody at lunchtime out of a big wooden barrel, or how do you call it, barrel was a soup. And this soup, each got at lunchtime this soup in a paper bag or plate or something like that. Only I was there again, the lucky, with his friends, with Arthur was the oldest one, the president, the Christian name. Arthur Meissner said, "No, Trudy, you won't eat that. You will eat our officer's meal and Erwin too, so we both." So at 1 o'clock we went in their big room and there we did eat and we never did eat. There I was lucky, never did eat the soup which the girls and the men said it was awful, awful, even then. It was just a soup out of ordinary vegetables. I can't remember now what the name of it, but I will remember. Only out of one vegetable made the soup. And everybody got a plate and you. Some girls came back and wanted another soup. They were hungry, you know. And I had that wonderful, good, bad time there because I was eating and Erwin, my husband, as well with the officers. So I never did eat that. And that's perhaps, that's what I later on thought, that kept my life.
How long were you there in the ghetto? Hmm? How long were you in that ghetto?
In Theresienstadt, I was over a year.
Yes, one hears of
That Mr. Meissner, Arthur Meissner, arranged all this transport because he certainly, I never heard it from him, he certainly knew where the transport was. But he never spoke about it. And I remember very well when he always said, "Oh, you are not going in this transport. No, you are not going." So we also went in a very late transport when others were there already over a year in Auschwitz. After the first ones, a year ago were already there.
Was Was Theresienstadt ghetto, was that turned into a concentration camp? Because one hears about a concentration camp at Theresienstadt.
Well, it was a concentration camp. Nobody could go out. Nobody could buy anything.
And did things deteriorate, you know, during the year that you were there? Did things get much worse in that year? Did it, for instance, become more crowded?
Well, it was, you know, because many, many German transports came. And the German transport were every German who was over a certain age, I forgot to say, the age, straight away went to be burned, killed. I suppose they went straight away to Auschwitz, into the already a command that they are coming into a concentration, into the fire, or how do you call it, into the camp. But when we came in the camp, so we went 200 girls from Theresienstadt to Auschwitz. And how we were transported was in animal trains, you know, where animals are standing. So and we were so many in one that we only leaned on each other. That was all that we didn't know where we go. And so we got to Auschwitz. When we came to Auschwitz, so we were arranged to stand up in rows and to march. So then we marched, we didn't know where, we hadn't had an idea. Not an idea, but we had to march under SS, already with high up, you know, knives, how do you call it, bayonets. And so whoever was moved, and that's how my husband died, whoever was moved was shot on the way, straight away. So when we came to Auschwitz, we came into a very big room where a very big desk in the middle was standing, and behind the desk a German high officer in the uniform, and he's never forget with a grey gloves in his hand, in his right hand, you know, with military gloves. And in front of his desk were three steps, three up and three down, in front of his desk. So he was sitting behind his officer, behind the desk, and he looked at us. Yes, and we had to be naked, undressed. Naked, and naked stepped up the three steps and down the three steps. And he looked at us, and he with his glove, I can see him, was sitting there and naked. So that means, around him, one had to walk right or left around his desk. So he only showed right, left. The ones, I can't tell you now which one, right or left, one went straight away in the gas chamber, and the other went in a working port, community. Because we then straight away went walking. Then we were near to Hamburg. And Hamburg was just, I don't know, from the American or...
Yes, this was when you were in Auschwitz, is that right? This is when you were in Auschwitz, you're describing. Yes, yes.
From there, we had to walk out. We were taken somehow by best bus to working place. And there we had, there was not a road. It was all stones down from a bombardment. I don't know if there was a British or the American, that Hamburg was entirely flat in stones, not a house standing there. But that was finished. And we had to go under the SS soldiers here. What is that? Under the, had to work to clear the stones so that one can make a road. Right and left to heavy stones, you know, we had to lift up and to put to the right and to the left. That the soldiers commanding us now, left, right. And we did it all.
What was it like living in Auschwitz? What sort of accommodation did you have?
Accommodation was, let's say, a big room, and on each side of this room were three wooden beds on top, you know. I don't know how you call it.
The bunks.
That's right. Three on top each. And whoever in Auschwitz, you know, then of course one got typhus very quickly. Everybody had typhus. I had it twice or three times. And I remember one day I woke up and I was on the top bed. And whoever had typhus and was ill came on the top bed. You know, on the top. On top of the other, the three was older. There was no straw, even only the wooden top. And one day I woke up there, and I knew it. I said, oh no, I'm not going to stay here. That I remember very well. I'm not going to stay there. I go down, whatever happens. Then they can kill me, but I go down. I'm not going to stay there here. And so I went down and nobody cared about it. I went on my old bank, you know, like before, nobody cared about me. Then on the opposite, I don't know how it was, one of these SS men, I said, look, every day was one, each had one standing up of all girls. And one had a book about it, how many there are, and to count if they are all still there, or they are dead, or they disappeared, because in from Auschwitz girls disappeared and did never come back. Not a lot, but some courageous one did it.
They escaped.
And it was yes. And one had to count that all are there. And when not all are there, then, for instance, I don't know how I got it, but I got the job that I got with another girl, the book, and in front, before the SS came to control, to stand them up and to count them, and to write in the book if one died or if they're all still alive. And they came then with a stick and counted them, if that is true. And if it was true, well, if they died or so, that didn't matter at all to them. It was only the booking that everything is all right, how many members are alive there, and how many, what the SS then was afraid, that many escaped.
Have you any idea how they escaped?
Sorry? They escaped. I tell you, a dear friend, one of my four friends, Eva Donner, she said to a man who was an SS man, you know, to look after them. When one entered, there were these steps where one was sitting up there, one of the SS men, I don't know. she was friendly with him, and she somehow, I don't know how clever she, we never heard about it, wasn't after the war, that she was the one who escaped because she took, because she didn't have shoes, you know, from one of the SS men, gave her a pair of shoes. She never told us how she got it. We didn't guess, of course, that she either were kissed from him or something. But we didn't know it all, never knew what happened. But she escaped. But the funny thing is, she came back again. Because she was on the way out, when she already knew, how she knew that, I forgot about it, that the Americans are coming. And she was afraid that the American will just take her in prison.
Escapes. Were there reprisals, no punishments given out for the rest of you because people had escaped? Were there many punishments?
Punishing?
Yes.
Well, punishing was only that we some days don't get any soup, because our food was soup, and once a week a slice of bread with a soup came out. Right? Now I don't know if it was, it was a week. And a tiny little piece like that of March that we got once a week, that I remember. And otherwise we had, our food was only the soup.
And coffee?
Coffee, yes.
Yes. That would that have been real coffee?
No, no, no. That was, I don't know what it was, but that wasn't real coffee. No. It was black water somehow, with a funny taste. And they said even that it was a poisoning taste in it, so that we get quiet. And it did quiet us down. You know, we all got tired after drinking the coffee. So, and then we were told, but we didn't know what's true and what's not true. But then we were told that it's just poison for us.
Did you see your husband at all at this time, or had he already been killed?
Between, you know, the men were on the women on the other side.
The men and women were separate?
Separate, yeah, they were living. From 12 to 1, we were allowed under, how should I say, under looking after us, in the middle, between the two, with the men and women, was in a way a road, or a place, like, between the two men and women, what to walk. There we were, yes? Well, anyhow, at between 12 and 1, we were allowed to meet husbands and wives in the middle street, under the observation and going with us, the military SS, you know, looking at us so that we don't move, that we only go straight on without to make a, how should I say, to go aside or anything, nothing allowed. Only in the middle street we were allowed to go, and there we met. And of course, what did we do? Well, I didn't eat my breakfast, but not only I, many of us. We all were afraid that the men are hungry. So each of us, mainly each of us, saved the one slice of bread we got to give it to the husband at lunchtime.